The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I attended one of those seminars where they teach you how to get more calls if you're a call-in host on a radio. And I was listening for about an hour as they gave their perspective on how to get people to call you. I tried it. None of it really noticeably increased my calls. But there is one thing I've done on past programs I think made a big difference. It was the double dog dare. Particularly effective with males. I double dog dare you to call me. Now, there is radio etiquette that says you do not use the triple dog dare. The triple dog dare is a compulsion. If you're a guy and somebody triple dog dares you, you have to do it. See that truck over there? Yeah. I triple dog dare you to go over to that truck and pick up the back end. Triple dog? Triple dog dare? Yeah. Where's the truck? Now, women, they don't even mess with the double dog dare. Double dog dare means nothing to a woman. It's kind of like the Three Stooges. They want no part of it. You could even do a single dog. You could do a cat dare to a woman, and they cannot be moved by how many dares you. I quintuplet dog dare you. It's not going to happen. They don't call. So I will do this. Those of you women who are vulnerable to the double dog dare, I double dog dare you to call me at 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call if you'd like to get onto the phone. And even if you don't feel so moved by the double dog dare, just because you want to. Question about kids. Parents, relatives, friends, emotions, intellect, particular diagnosis you don't understand, cultural factors as they shape who we are in a way never, ever, 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 ever done before in human history. This is definitely something that is happening so quickly. So, 877 57 equal, that is the number to call. It was about 2002, maybe 2001, where the crisis, and I'm not going to call it the pedophilia crisis, because it really wasn't pedophilia. These were older males in most cases. Still egregiously awful. But let's represent it for the awfulness that it was accurately. I don't know the statistics. I'm sure they're out there. How many people, what percentage, said, I don't want to be Catholic at all, if that's what the Catholic Church is. I would imagine that most who did that were hanging by a thread to the Catholic Church. I'm thinking that what I'm about to say, most people who are faithfully wanting to follow Christ through his church would not have run. But it brings up an incredibly illogical point that people follow, and because they're ruled by emotions. Here is the question. Why would you leave something because of people who act against that something. Any priest who misused a young person was completely acting against what the church has taught. And interestingly enough, if you go back far enough, you'll realize that the church is the one who radically altered the sexual conduct and mores of cultures because they were a lot more sexually loose way back when. And the church is influenced heavily, particularly Western culture. That would be tantamount to me saying, I'm not getting married. Why is that? Oh, my neighbors, they fight constantly. They've been married for 24 years, and that's all they do is argue. You can tell there's all kinds of ill will in that relationship. Well, yeah, because that's not what marriage can be. They are acting counter to what marriage could be, what it is designed to be. So why would you say, I'm not going to do that? Or young people who say, I'm not going to have any children. Why? Because there's brats all around me. I don't want to live with one of those brats. Well, yeah, when you have a brat like that, there's probably a pretty good chance your parenting or your family life or your stability or whatever it might be is not raising that kid well. That is not to say that you won't raise it, the child well.
Dr. A, well, first of all, it wasn't so much what the priest did, but that it was hidden, that they hid it. People in high positions.
Yes, that seemed to have happened, and for various reasons, not the least of which, at the time, one of the mindsets was, with that kind of heavily inappropriate sexual acting out, you could be fixed. But we realize now it's a lot harder to correct it, and in many cases, you just have to remove the person from any tempting situations. We know that now. But at that time, there was many in the mental health field advising the bishops and the people in charge, well, you know, but you got to get him away from that situation and maybe we can work on it with therapy and all this kind of stuff. But that aside, that's not my point. If, in fact, offenders were protected, once again, the protectors were acting against what the church would teach. The irony is that kind of conduct is wrong because the church has always said it's wrong. The fact that somebody did it against what the church says does not invalidate the church. I'm not going to be Catholic if that's what Catholic is. That's not what Catholic is. The only way you know what Catholic is somebody acted against it. And I've always wondered about that. So you look at priests who misused their vocation, and you say, well, if that's Catholicism, I want no part of it. But that's not Catholicism. That is someone completely acting against Catholicism. Isn't that ironic? So many people looked at that. Now, again, I wish... Probably not in graduate school. I might try to do a survey on this. But see, when you did your PhD, they didn't want you to do surveys. Not in clinical psychology. You're supposed to be a researcher, so they wanted you to do research, and I don't think I could have done a survey. But it would have been fascinating for me to interview people who have left the church because of the crisis and ask them things like, when was the last time you went to church? How often do you go to church? Do you pray? Did you get your first communion, but you didn't get confirmed? Is this your second or third marriage? I would want to know to what degree they are already kind of orbiting Catholicism and then using that as their rationale. You see, because I'm holier than that. I don't want to belong to any organization that does that because I'm a good person. I would wonder about that. Someone thinking clearly would say, that's wrong and that's going directly against Catholic Church teaching. Well, again, somebody once asked me, matter of fact, it was Al Cresta, why are not people governed more by reason and reality? And I said, they're governed more by self-interest and emotions. And reason and reality can often get in the way of self-interest. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray. Thank you for keeping me company.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
In the sixth rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, he instructs us to extend ourselves in some suitable way of doing penance, to assist us in changing ourselves and our response to the experience of spiritual desolation. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "The penance is suitable when it counters the precise tendency to flight we feel in the spiritual desolation and permits us to act against the specific form of desolation we are undergoing." St. Ignatius is directing us to consider a suitable penance that will be an action that counters the very actions the desolation is pushing one towards. For example, if the lies of the enemy during spiritual desolation make a person feel far from God, a suitable way of doing penance could be an intentional turning to God in prayer and with trust. What suitable form of penance might you practice in spiritual desolation?
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Stephen Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
I notice about getting older, it takes longer for me to rest than it did when I was younger to get tired. Been noticing that. Gets a little harder to get that rocking chair going. Let's go to Wayne from Fort Christine, Indiana. No, that's Christine from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Christine.
Good job. Hello, Dr. Ray, I need you so badly.
You do you?
Yes. Okay, so I just want to know how best to help my little 12-year-old. My super competitive, he's still super competitive. He's the baby of five. And he's always been very confident, carefree, like just fun kid. He's super smart, does well in school. But I just noticed last spring he started, like, I guess it sounds like scrupulosity. Like he was just remembering things that he did in first grade or third grade and telling me, "Mom, I cheated on that spelling test. Mom, I wasn't nice to Johnny," or, you know, and just confessing to me. And we had many long emotional conversations, but I was trying to help him through that. And we did the surrender novena together. I would tell him to, you know, say, "Jesus, I trust in you," and he doesn't want you to worry and all that. And then it kind of went in. I saw anxiety more with school in big tests, or he's a math wizard, so math is not a factor. It's like reading, science, and all those things. But
he's got the common theme here is perfection. I want to be perfection.
Okay,
in,
yes.
in my sinlessness and perfection in my academics.
Yes, and what has just happened recently is a sixth grade science project in which he was one of five kids, and he was researching and had to present yesterday. And I mean, we have been talking about the science project for like 2 weeks, and he would just cry about it. He'd worry, and we would help it. He was doing fine. He just questions himself. He thinks too much. He overthinks. His sisters and brothers would tell him, buddy, it's sixth grade. You're overthinking it. You're good. You got this. Let it go. And even after yesterday, Dr. Ray, he gave the presentation, did a good job. I don't know what the grade was, but he is ruminating about, he thinks he didn't answer, or I think he's afraid he was dishonest or something about, the teacher said you need to look at more than Google, and I don't know if he did. So,
Christine, you want some bad news?
Oh, no. Please, I don't know. Help me.
You can't make somebody who frets a certain way, thinks a certain way, change that way easily.
Ugh.
You can do things to make it better, perhaps.
Okay.
For example, you said he was 12.
Yes.
I've noticed over the years that when adolescence hits, some kids have some personality changes. They do. They go from being a little kid and hormones are coursing through them, and we don't understand all the effects of those hormones. Yeah, we understand the physiological effects, but we really don't understand the whole bodily psyche type effect. So that could be part of it, maybe. I'm not willing to go that far, but throwing it out as a speculation. The other thing is you might be getting too pulled into it. For example, you said you've had long conversations.
Yeah.
Because he said when he was 2 years old, he pooped his pants and he didn't tell anybody. Okay. You need some good, solid, short, if you want to call them therapy statements, go ahead. You say, son, is Jesus a liar?
No.
Well, when he says he forgives you when you're sorry, are you saying he doesn't?
No, he does, but I don't.
Well, are you saying you're more forgiving than Jesus? Is that what you're saying here? In other words, what you want to show him as best you can is that I'm not going to sit here and tell you, okay, that's okay, you're forgiven. That was a long time ago, son, Jesus. No, because then what you're doing is moms are supposed to try to reassure, and he's looking at it that way, as opposed to saying, well, let's look at this. You're not taking Jesus at his word? What did Jesus say?
Well, he says he forgives you.
So you don't believe him? Okay, so that's kind of the way you approach it, more of a kind of a matter of fact. This is the way it is, son. Without going into an hour and a half. I don't know. That's exhausting. I don't know how you do that. Okay. I mean, I would do it. I would do it as a therapist, but I'm getting paid for it, you know? Okay. Now, the anxiety about school. I'd probably say, well, son. Now, again, this goes back to you may not be able to strip him of his anxiety. I mean, if he's just kind of a fretter sort of kid, then he's going to be anxious about it until maybe he hits 13, 14, 15, and he realizes, yeah, I can still get good grades, and I don't have to worry about it as much. You tell him, you're going to do the project. You're going to be anxious about it. Okay, son, we already know that. You're going to be anxious about it. So let's see, with all your anxiety, how it comes out.
Mom, I got a B+.
Oh, pretty good. So did you waste all that anxiety? Did you like feeling that way?
No.
So how many times is it going to take, son, when you perform well, but you were anxious about it for 3 days? How long is that going to take?
I don't know. I just feel anxious. I just get anxious.
Okay, you get anxious. All right. Now what?
Well, I don't want to be anxious.
Well, okay, then what are you telling yourself?
Well, what if I fail?
Well, have you failed so far? No, but I could. Yes, you could. You could, son. And what if you did? Well, I'd get a bad grade. Yeah, you probably would. Then what? Well, then they'd make me do it over. Yeah, then what? Well, then probably I'd have to try to bring my grade up. Okay, then what? In other words, what's your take? You're carrying it out for him. Then what? Then what? Then what? Then what?
Mm-hmm.
Son, all this stuff that you're future projecting about that's causing your anxiety, what if I don't give a good presentation? Okay, what if you don't? Well, I'll just feel stupid. So you feel stupid, then what? Well, I'll just feel like I can't do it. Well, you did it, so then what? In other words, what you're saying is, look, everything you're telling yourself that's so awful and catastrophic isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're carrying it out for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it for your son is that he's got to realize this anxiety that I feel, it's not affecting my performance. It's not paralyzing me. So, okay, son, so you're being anxious. At some point, after about 12 of these things where you were anxious and you did well, you're going to realize, maybe I don't have quite as much reason to be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are, Christine. It's what I can give you in 4 minutes. Now, if you came into my office, I'd give you a lot more, but I'd charge you. I'd charge you big. I charge you by the word. That's what's happening now. I charge you by the word. All right, dear. Call me back and let me know how your son's doing, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. All righty. I got time. Oh, she did? Yes, yes, yes. Ooh, yeah, I think she did. Okay, I'm going to bump into the break on this, but I did ask her to call me. And she said, I can call you on Wednesday. And I think this is the same Michelle that sent me the email. Isn't it, Michelle?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hey. Well, kind of you to call. That was very nice. You said you would, and you did. Thank you. I did. I am not used to women saying, yeah, Ray, I'll call you. And they don't. I mean, you're like the second one in my life, you know, but. So tell me about this 19-year-old son of yours.
So he is, his dad and I divorced when he was two. So it's been he and I pretty much the majority of his life. And it's kind of my fault. I'm going to deal with some things as the call goes on. You'll see, I'm going to deal with some things because I've had to kind of wrap my life around him and be very stable for him, because his dad was kind of a recluse and took off on us. I've tried my best to give him a stable life. I mean, I went and got a nursing degree. I've been a nurse for a long time now, and I sent him to good schools. I, you know, gave him opportunities. He played soccer his whole life. We've done club ball and, you know, high
school. Obviously, Michelle, really obviously, with all these wonderful things you did as a mother, loving good things, you probably screwed up somewhere and you just don't realize it. That's all.
I feel like I did.
See, I knew you were thinking that.
My thing is that he was pretty good in school. I mean, he's never loved school, but, you know, majority of kids don't. But as we started talking about college, he did get offers to go play soccer in college, and he agreed to them, you know, took the offers, but then dropped out. Like, the next week, he'd say, oh, I don't want to do that. So, and he kind of has a pattern of that through life, of just not completing things. And so he decided to just stay at a local university here. It's about 30 minutes from our house.
He doesn't even like that.
He doesn't. So he's had some trouble with the math class. He's taken the math class twice. Not a big deal. I'm like, you know, just work it out. You know, we'll work it out. But he's in his second semester now. But he started hanging out with these guys.
He's quote unquote,
the coolest guys he's ever met. And they're like Navy type guys that are training for the SEALs.
Ooh. Stay there, so Michelle. That music says I have to go for a couple of minutes. Okay. You stay right there. I will come back. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825. I know you're there on the phone, and I see you on my screen, so be patient, and I thank you for that.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We get what we look for. St. Thérèse of Lisieux has an interesting insight on this. Once in a discussion over the possibility of avoiding purgatory, the future saint told another member of her community, Sister Maria Fabronia, that God was more father than judge. And in this discussion, debate, she finally took the liberty of saying to the other sister, "If you look for the justice of God, you will get it. The soul will receive from God exactly what she desires." Are we full of wounds and anger and hurt, and do we want to inflict that on other people? Are we allowing God to heal us? If we receive His mercy, we have to show it to others. The Beatitudes are the heart of Jesus' message. Let's be transformed by them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, "Don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach." Jesus's answer was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Dr. Ray Grindy, the doctor is in. Almost forgot. Amazing what reminds you to do things. When I said the doctor is in, I realized I hadn't silenced my phone. I don't know how that happened, that connection. The doctor is in. Silencing my phone. So I just did that. Bottom of the hour is we get calls in clumps. They come in at the top, and then they come in at the bottom. So we have about half an hour left. So if you'd like to call in, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm talking to what appears to be a very pleasant, lovely, self-driven single mom. Her little guy and she have been together since he was two, not since she was two. And he's 19 now. Michelle, you still there, dear?
I'm still here.
Okay. Now, I'm going to summarize. First of all, I'm going to summarize what you said. Then I'm going to summarize what I didn't say. You said you pretty much had to give this young man a good, stable, loving existence, which you believe you did. And somehow you're doubting yourself because he's going in a direction you're not sure about. Now, it isn't an immoral direction. It's a career direction, but you didn't say this. Don't let me put words in your mouth, but I think you're going to say, "Dr. A, you're right," because I just want to hear it. That's why I'm saying it, because I just want to hear you say that. You thinking it's a little impulsive. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right.
I knew it. I hate to have to trick women into saying I'm right. Okay. So what I picked up from what you were saying is your young man never really liked school all that much anyway. He just didn't like it, correct?
Correct.
So he went to college, which you thought, well, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to go to college. And he's gone, "Nah, I'm not into this." And I predicted that he was going to probably either drop out the second semester or just kind of let his grades flag. He ran up against some guys, manly men, talking about being a SEAL, which is really, really tough to do. It's easier to be like a SEAL at SeaWorld than it is to be a SEAL in the Navy, but never mind. And you're saying he wants to join the Navy. Now, if he does, what would be wrong with that for you?
I think my concern is, I have two concerns. I don't think he's going to be a good fit. Not that I have not been supportive of him. I've kind of gone through all the stages of grief on this. I don't have a problem with him joining the Navy. I am scared to death of him trying to do the SEAL stuff.
Oh, well, that's okay. He won't make it.
Well, I don't think he will.
Right. I mean, obviously they take one out of a bazillion. So
right.
Reality will hit him. So are you afraid that somehow if he fails, that'll throw him for a loop?
Yes. I also have kind of this mother bear attitude that I need to deal with of let him go. Let him learn. If he's not going to listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or any good advice.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Now, whoa. Stop right there. I ain't going to say yeah to that one.
Okay.
Because who says it's good
advice? Because I said good advice.
Yeah, who says it's good advice? I mean, you're basically saying, son, I thought you were going to go to college. You didn't. Okay. Now, what are you going to do with your life? He said, well, I want to join the Navy. Okay. Join the Navy. But if he joins the Navy, I mean, I don't know what he's not thinking this through. He doesn't really know what's ahead of him, and I'm not sure it's going to fit. And then he tries to be a SEAL, and he's going to find out how hard that is. You know, am I going to have to pick up the pieces? You're doing a lot of overthinking here, Michelle.
I know.
Because you have no idea how it's going to unfold. He may love the Navy. He may dump the idea of being a SEAL. He may be some kind of sonar person on the sub. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wise just to say, okay, well, try it out, son. See what happens. But forgive me for being shrinky on you. But I think what you're thinking is, all along, you have devoted so much of your motherhood and love and stability and guidance into this young man. And you're thinking, man, I'm not sure I want to let go right now.
You know, I've thought about that. And in the beginning, I can say, yes, it's a let go issue. Now I feel like it's I don't want him to be uncomfortable issue.
Oh, those
which
are related.
Even worse.
Those are related.
I mean,
when you let go,
my baby's going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, well, you want to swaddle him? What are you going to do here?
I don't know. I need help.
Yeah, I think it's coming down to you, not so much him. I mean, he doesn't sound like he's an irresponsible kid. It sounds like
he's a good kid.
Yeah, he tried college, and it's not for him.
Yeah.
And probably if he joins the Navy and he does well, he'll get all kinds of training and different things. My son joined the Army when he was 20 or 21, spent 10 years down around Fort Hood and various places, and he mustered out, and he's getting all kinds of training paid for all kinds of neat stuff, and he can finally start to pay me back all the money I put into him all those years.
Yeah.
I think you just you got to tell yourself, hey, he's 19, he's a young man, he's got the world by the backside, and if he wants to try the Navy, okay. Now, worst case scenario. Ready?
Ready.
He gets booted out. Okay, so what? Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to do now, son? You didn't make it in the Navy. What are you going to do now? See, you're predicting the future, and you have no idea what the future is.
Mm-hmm. I just wish he wasn't going for the hardest thing ever. And I did talk to him quite a bit about if you don't make it, and he kind of said, oh, I'll make it. I said, well, really, the statistics are stacked against you.
Now, don't even do that. Don't even do that. Let him find out on his own. He'll find out.
Yeah.
Even the guys that actually make it through the whole SEAL testing process, mm-hmm. I forget what percentage of them wash out during the hell week.
Yeah, I mean, most of them don't go even get that far.
Yeah, so if he's saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Okay, son, well, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're just having a heck of a time letting go because you raised this young man to be a good, responsible kid, and you just don't want him to, come on, life, don't do that to him.
Well, you know, like I said, it's just been he and I, and now I'm like, oh, shoot, now I don't have anybody.
Well, that's so true. If you say I don't like him going to the Navy because I don't know when I'll see him again, I understand that part. That's
I had that with a couple of my kids. I got two of them in the Army, or did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you have to run that far away from your mom? Not me, of course, your mom. Yeah, it's his life now, Michelle.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm glad you sent me that email, because it was a really sweet email, and I said, call me. I never could have talked to you this much in an email. There's no way. No way.
Very much for your help.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care. You're going to call me 2 years from now and say, my son's a Navy SEAL. This is Dr. A. Thank you for joining me. The Double Dog Dares, well, actually, the women responded. We've got no calls from men, but the women apparently responded to the Double Dog Dare.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
What makes you happy? Truly and completely happy. Not just for a day or a year. What makes you truly, completely happy day in, year out? St. Thomas Aquinas says, God alone satisfies. Each and every one of us in the human race desire happiness. Our Creator, God, implanted that desire in our spiritual DNA so that we would be drawn to Him alone who can completely fulfill that desire. The Beatitudes respond to that yearning for happiness, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, because they reveal the ultimate end of human acts. God calls us to His own beatitude, characterized variously as the coming of the kingdom of God, the vision of God, the joy of the Lord, or entering into God's rest. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. I was asked an interesting question. Dr. Ray, do you ever feel like you're trapped in the wrong body? That you're trapped in a woman's body? I did have that experience. I might as well confess right now. There was a period of time in my very early life when I felt trapped in a woman's body, but then I was born, so that ended there. Let's talk to Kathleen from Missouri. She has a comment, and she also says, why do I do that? Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Hey, that's hysterically funny about being trapped in another body. But you know what my mother did? I ran and said, oh, Mom, I'm going to marry Peggy Roberts. I don't know how old I was. Grade school, I think. We looked alike. We were thin. We loved outdoors. We jumped over hedges. We played board games. So I knew I wanted to marry her. And my mother said, oh, no, Kathy, it doesn't work like that. I go, what do you mean? We should tell everybody about the female plug and the male plug. That's all I have to say. Okay, so, because I didn't want to do it anymore. But I didn't want to do what I had to do if I got married either. But it's all worked out. I married a psychopath. Well, Dr. Ray. I was listening. I live in Ozark, Missouri, and I'm listening to EWTN or Catholic Network, I guess. So I thought I was listening to the show I always listen to in Kansas City, Missouri. Well, that's when I live there. But I want to compliment you, first of all, and then maybe move to what I was going to say, because the intake person said, that's okay if you want to say all that. That's really good. Well, Okay, so I missed seeing you at St. Pius, and it did break my heart. I love your voice. I love your advice. I recommend you to everybody because you've been there and done it. You have adopted children and everything else. And if anybody knows how to give advice, it is you. You're really, you've thought it out well, and you've been through it.
I didn't think it out well, Kathleen. I'm just old, and it's like a master chess player.
I'm almost 77.
Oh, my gosh, you don't sound that. You don't sound that. I would have thought that.
Oh, I know. I feel young, and God keeps me young because he's got purpose for me after living with a psychopath. Married him in the Catholic Church. Well, what I want to talk about real fast, and I don't know how this works, is forgiveness, because that's what I was listening to on the show. Because everybody goes, oh, I can never forgive that person. Oh, my God. Well, physical ailments, there you go. But I told the intake person also, getting even does not work. I planned out what I was going to do to get even with this person I work with, who always let coffee fall on me because she didn't catch the door as she went through it, and she'd have coffee. So I planned it out. I went ahead of her one time, and I had coffee, and I didn't catch the door, and she's used to me catching the door. And it fell on her, but you know what? I didn't feel a bit good about it afterwards. No. And it didn't equal what she did to me, because she did it so many times.
Wait a minute. Kathleen, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that is the biggest thing in your life you've had to forgive?
No, forgiving the psychopath. Every time he hit me, like broke my nose, body slammed me, strangled me. Okay, I told God, I could not breathe, Dr. Ray. I couldn't. I knew my last breath was gone. I said, oh, thank you, God. I'm coming with you. And God said, not so fast, Kathy. You don't want to come here. You said, you can't come here. And you said you don't want to go to purgatory. I said, oh, God, no. No.
Okay, so, God, I'm going to have to hurry along here because we're going to run up against
a
break.
Anyway, he didn't take me. He did not take me to heaven. I went back with my psychopath. I married him in the Catholic Church, 1969, on his R&R for Vietnam. And I'll just say this on the air. When we consummated our wedding vows, after I waited all that time for him since I was 16,
So let's get back here, my dear, to the whole message of forgiveness.
Well, and the whole message forgiveness is God asks us to love and forgive others. Even under current leadership, which is totally evil and insane, we are commanded to love that person, forgive that person, and pray for that person and hope he changes. And if Jesus can be humiliated and defiled and spit on and still decide to die for my sins, I can forgive anyone. I can't.
Well, that's a good way of putting it, and I also would put it this way. We don't have the option, as Christians, to forgive. We are obligated to forgive. Our Lord says very clearly, if you don't forgive men's sins, you won't be forgiven yours. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so it's all through Scripture and Jesus is teaching that this is not a negotiable, and we don't like that part. And most of us think we're pretty forgiving people until something happens to us that really stretches our ability to forgive. And of course, we have to figure out what forgive means, because most people misunderstand it. But you're right. You're dead right. And I thank you for your wisdom. But I will say this, and I'm going to forgive you for this, Kathleen. I really am. It took you like a minute and a half to get around to complimenting me. That I noticed that, okay? You said a whole bunch of other things before you decided to compliment me. That hurt. But I'm going to forgive you because I'm a forgiving person. Oh, she's gone?
A very pleased and joyful. Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. I'll talk to you. Bye. I thought she didn't get it. I was thinking, okay, maybe she's thinking, maybe I should have complimented him in the first couple seconds. No, I'll give you a couple minutes. I will. It's the kind of guy I am. I'll be right back.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
I came across a study. It was what they called a meta-analysis. Essentially, it's summarizing a whole bunch of studies, attempting to put them in some final conclusion. And what they found was, this is fascinating, that over and above placebo is essentially an intervention or a medication that's inert that is used as a control, or sometimes a control. Over and above placebo, anxiety medication works about one-third of the time, which is rather high, because for depression, it's one-tenth of the time. And for, I forget, obsessive-compulsive disorder, which is a form of anxiety, it's an anxiety disorder, but I think it was 1 in 6. Over and above placebo. So this relates a little bit to Josh's call here from Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Pleasure to speak with you.
Well, I know that with you and your wife disagreeing, I don't have to even guess where you're at.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and I appreciate the little intro there on the stats. So yes, and I related to the first lady that called about her son, I think it was. It was in the sixth grade. So my daughter is in that same grade and just started puberty, and so going through a lot there. And as part of that, you know, we definitely noticed a huge uptick in her, you know, ability to get good sleep and, you know, fret over things that she had previously not really been an issue. But you know, this is where my wife and I do differ, is she comes from a much more, I think, like medical approach to things. And I'm more of, you know, just, you know, stay the course. And, you know, also, you know, it's as much a thing as spiritual as anything else. And, you know, just kind of try that. But yes, so she went ahead and got her an appointment with which it is, the type of doctor that can prescribe medication, but
they all can medically. They all can. So it's okay, probably a family practitioner, pediatrician, or psychiatrist.
I think it was a psychiatrist. So I would have preferred she had not done that, but she went ahead and did it. She felt strongly about it, and I think my place here is just that I know that medicine certainly has a role. My concern is just introducing it so young that there will become a dependency on this that there won't really be an exit strategy for. And I don't,
What makes you think your wife would even care what I think?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just asking for kind of my own. I just kind of question, you know, am I seeing it the right way? Is my view on this reasonable? And so it maybe is more for me than anything else. I don't think I'm going to go to her and say, well, Dr. Ray said that wouldn't be smart. But
no, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be wise anyway, because I don't know your daughter. So that said, but I will offer these thoughts. One of the first of all, we reach for medication way too quickly. And there's research even starting to come out. This isn't just my opinion. Okay, there are growing movements, especially with kids, who are reaching for medication too quickly. There's other factors to be dealt with. So I would ask you several things. Did she just start middle school?
This last fall. Okay. 2025.
Right. So she's in middle school, kind of moving out of the safety of an elementary situation where she was the big kid. Now she's the little kid. Second question. Shouldn't have said That's dumb. Is dumb. Tell me she doesn't have a smartphone or a device with internet access.
So what we have is a phone that we call the house phone. It's a Gab phone. So it's a dumb phone. It doesn't have any.
Okay. Good.
And she only uses it, you know, within certain times that we monitor, and then it stays in the kitchen.
Okay, smart. All right. If you're going to do the phone thing, you're very wise like that. That makes total sense. Has she always been kind of a nervous fretter type kid, overthinking type kid?
I think maybe to an extent, she's just been maybe the more serious-minded one. But certainly the worrying has picked up to where she couldn't even sleep, really. That was something new.
What kind of anxiety is this? What is she anxious about?
It seems actually really similar to what was mentioned before about just the classroom. You know, her performance on assignments and her, you know, but there's also been other, she's encountering the other middle school drama with the girls
and
groups and things like
that. Yep. That'll be a factor. That's a factor. So I think your wife is nervous about the fact that this anxiety is affecting her functioning. She's not sleeping. She's unhappy. She doesn't want to go to school, et cetera, et cetera. What is making your wife say we got to do something medically about this?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the bad news. You're probably not going to be able to go against your wife without causing marital problems. Am I wrong?
No, that's absolutely fair, and that's, you know, a large part of this is trying to toe that line and maintain peace in the home and trust God with the rest, I guess.
Well, to give you some reassurance, highly likely that the medication isn't going to hurt your daughter. Given it may be sedating, depending upon what they use or how much of it they use, or she may not even like the feeling. She may say, I don't like what that medication does to me. I don't like the feeling of it. That could happen. There's going to be probably a placebo effect, which is, yeah, I'm on medication. I feel better now. And your wife will likely be seeing her as, she seems better to me, because this is what we want to believe. So that's a factor.
Yeah. And I will say too, I mean, my own observation is that it does seem to be having some positive effect.
Well, it
what
will.
What I worry about it, is that she'll get too attached to that.
Not
and
likely.
That'll be the thing that she needs.
That's not likely. She's probably at this point, okay, she's embracing it, your wife's embracing it, and you really have no choice but to kind of go along with this, unless you really want to say, okay, well, I'm going to go to the mat on this one. So at this point, you see how it plays out. You're not looking at something where you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to make a mental patient out of her. She's not going to be able to function in life unless she's got her pills. That's overthinking it, Josh. That's really overthinking it. I had a child who had all kinds of anxiety, and his pediatrician did put him on some meds. He was on them for a while, and then he just said, you know what, I don't think I need this. And he went on, and he's a very well-developed young man. So in that sense, take that as reassurance. And at this point, just see how it plays out. But put aside that worry of, oh, man, what are we doing to my kid? What's she gonna think? I need my pill to get by in life. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, producer man and call screamer today. Walk with God. Keep on that walk.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.